It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
The leftist media tries to rebrand Kamala Harris, distancing her from her Marxist policies. And in that process of trying to play for the middle, a similar strategy seems to be going on with her chosen running mate. Well, as you know, Kamala Harris has changed her positions more times than Stormy Daniels, and in that vein, many thought she would choose Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, because he's a moderate, and that might further camouflage her positions. Democrats always try to portray themselves as moderate while running for office because they don't believe leftist policies can get them elected. And they're right. Remember, Biden was hailed as a moderate when he ran. Can you think of one moderate act in his administration? And don't get me started on the phrase moderate. Shapiro, the so-called moderate, is pro-gay marriage, pro-choice. Now that's considered moderate. I know many Republicans are now also pro-gay marriage. That concerns me, but at least in their case, there are other issues that they're still conservative about, and we have to make a choice when we vote. One legitimate conservative policy that Shapiro did have, he's Jewish, he's also pro-Israel, but he's been walking that back, probably because he knows he was in the running. Now he says he's against Netanyahu. In the past, he didn't believe in a separate Palestinian state, because he knows that Palestine wants to make war with Israel and doesn't recognize Israel's right to exist. Now he says he believes in a two-state solution, so he's walking that kind of stuff back. But regarding so-called moderates in general, I've said this before, as the left keeps going left, and the conservatives, true conservatives, stay where they are, if somebody wants to be moderate by staying exactly in the middle all the time of leftists and conservatives, well, if the conservatives are standing still and the leftists keep moving left, the moderate has to keep moving left too, just not quite as left. And the frog gets boiled so slowly that to some people, they look like a moderate. And Shapiro was looking like a moderate. Certainly compared to the guy that Kamala Harris did finally choose, he does seem to be a moderate by comparison, because that guy's gone off the cliff. In any event, she didn't pick Shapiro. Many say it's because he's Jewish. Now look, as you know, I too am Jewish. A Jew converted to Christianity, certainly, but still Jewish, still a supporter of Zionism, still one who speaks out constantly against anti-Semitism. However, I also hate and reject identity politics. What do I mean by identity politics? Democrats will lecture you in a heartbeat if you don't want to vote for Harris, claiming it's only because she's black and because she's a woman. I hate that kind of pea-brained, one-dimensional thinking, so I won't do the same thing from my side. I do not, as a Jew, immediately assume that Harris rejected Shapiro because he's Jewish. Bottom line, I don't know. I can't read minds. However, in this particular case, despite my unwillingness to give a knee-jerk identity politics reaction, there is a lot of evidence that his Jewishness may indeed have been an issue. I'll at least call it evidence. And I say this because of all the scuttlebutt that was going on before the decision. We know that the Squad and others in the Democratic Party are very anti-Israel, blaming the victims of October rather than the perpetrators of October. We know that Biden and Harris have been feckless and spineless and cowardly and wishy-washy in their support of Israel. That Harris snubbed Netanyahu when he spoke before the Senate, even though as vice president she had a responsibility to be there. We know that Harris expressed solidarity with Hamas supporters. And people from the left, even those who don't hate Jews personally, were warning Harris not to alienate the pro-Hamas wing of the Democratic Party in Michigan and other places. Michael Moore was one such person. Van Jones also brought this up, although in his case, I must say to his credit, it did not appear that he liked what was going on. He didn't seem to be advising her against picking Shapiro, but he was acknowledging the discussions going on in the party. He was acknowledging the problem. And after she picked Governor Waltz of Minnesota instead, Van Jones didn't seem happy about it, but he did say that anti-Semitism is marbled into the Democratic Party. His words. So it's very difficult not to at least ask questions about Shapiro's Jewishness being a factor. As for Governor Waltz, who seems even more to the left of Harris, well, now they're trying to portray him as a moderate too, because he served in the military and he goes hunting. He's anti-Second Amendment, mind you. He doesn't ever want you to use your gun to protect yourself, but you can go out and shoot animals. He'll probably have to walk that back someday too because of PETA. But at the moment, yeah, he hunts and he served in the military. Oh, and you're going to love this one. He's folksy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost as if they're saying, hey, you bigots who don't want a female African-American woman, look, here's an old white guy. Yeah, he's white. Whoopty frickin' do. And yeah, he served in the military. Never mind that he lied about a great deal of his military record. And not only is he against the Second Amendment, he seems to be against the First Amendment, too. At least he wants to modify it. He may not be a moderate, but he's sure a modifier. He claims the First Amendment doesn't protect all speech. It doesn't protect hate speech. It doesn't protect misinformation. Oh, that's right, Governor. The First Amendment only protects speech you agree with. Ladies and gentlemen, if our forefathers thought that all speech was going to be benign, that people were always going to agree with each other, we would not have needed a First Amendment. It's because people will not like our speech. It's because speech might be controversial and challenge the status quo. That's why it needs to be protected. As for saying the First Amendment doesn't protect against misinformation, well, Governor, you would know all about misinformation. In the military, he claims that he saw combat, but he was lying about that. Yes, he was in the military. He did not see combat. Other examples of his moderation: he believes in open borders. His state offered free health care to illegal immigrants, driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, which helps them to vote. He's quoted as saying, one man's socialist is another man's neighborliness. Oh, neighborliness, like snitching on your neighbors? Yeah, he set up a hotline back in 2020 to snitch on your neighbors if they walked outside without masks. Outside without masks. Those people he wanted arrested. But those burning down buildings during the 2020 Summer of Love, including the police station, he told the police to stand down. He refused to call the National Guard for 3 days. He went on and worked to defund the police. But regarding the policies and actions of Trump and Vance, he says, this is not normal behavior. Normal behavior? Normal behavior? This from the guy who puts tampons in boys' school bathrooms? And there's a law in Minnesota now that if a parent objects to their child transitioning, even to the point of receiving surgery, the child can be removed from the parent's custody. Hey, Waltz, since you like to coin different perspectives, how about this one? One man's governor is another man's child abuser. When rioters were burning down the city of Minneapolis in 2020, he said it was because of a lack of equity. Burning down businesses, even the businesses of black owners, yeah, that'll teach us a thing or two about equity. That'll teach us about compassion. But he's folksy. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious. Thank you.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. It's good to be with you. I'm Bob Siegel. Say hello to my co-host and columnist, Mike Friedenberg. Well, he's not my columnist. He's a columnist and my co-host. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well, Bob. Doing well. You know, I was just listening to your opening statement, and it's a great statement. You got lots of facts in it, but I've been listen to CNBC, MSNBC,
ABC. Oh, I
ABC,
imagine they disagree with me.
CNN. And basically, this guy, Tim Walz, he's very folksy. He's the neighbor you want.
He's your coach. He's your high school
teacher. I mean, he is amazing. In fact, one of the gals, I think of CNN, one of their anchors, said he's the man that J.D. Vance aspires to be someday when he grows up.
And she's the woman that knows how to read her talking points that the DNC sends to MSNBC.
So, but of course, I was sort of taking this with a grain of salt because you can't always trust those outlets. But then something happened to me, Bob. I was in the parking lot and I had just decided to check my fluids, check my oil in my car, and opened the hood. And up rolls a pickup truck. It's a brand new truck. It's got a gun rack in the back. And then I see the sticker. It says Minnesota National Guard on it. And at first I looked up and I saw the guy and I thought, well, that looks just like my neighbor. But it wasn't my neighbor. It was Governor Tim Walz. No, it turned out that somebody got sick and the girls' softball team needed a coach to stand in. So he had just rolled into town and he saw me in the parking lot and he had jumper cables for me, Bob, just in case I needed.
That's incredible.
It was amazing. And I just thought,
given the brains of our electorate, there may be somebody listening right now that actually believes this story, Mike.
So anyway.
The contempt that they have for the public of just how incredibly stupid they think they are. But Mike, it's working. At least according to a lot of polls, it's working. I know that sometimes you dig in and give us other nuances about polls. And I hope you have some better news for us because it looks like it's working.
I'm not digging in. I pretty much think it's all over, Bob. It's all over. We're done for.
Yeah. They want to mutilate your kids. They want to burn down your cities. They want to open the borders. But it's an opportunity to have a woman president. Who could look beyond that? Yeah. I even saw somebody interview. They said, who do you think's better on the economy? She says, oh, Trump, definitely. Well, then why are you voting for Harris? Oh, she's a woman. Yeah. That was it.
They can find people like that. So,
they're finding a lot of people like that.
So, of course, that was not a true story, Bob.
I knew that, Mike, sure. But I'm glad you're explaining, because who knows who's listening right now.
And in fact, my neighbor does not look like Tim Walz. I'll just say that.
Okay.
We won't make
any jabs about how he looks. I don't care how he looks. No. I just care about what's inside the guy.
Tim Walz looks fine. He's fine. fine-looking older white guy.
Yeah, he's fine-looking, and that's about the only compliment I can think of right now.
So let's talk a little bit about this Stolen Valor stuff, because what I did is I did find a letter that was published by two former senior commanders that worked alongside him during the time he was in the Minnesota National Guard, and they put together a letter highlighting some things that they believe show that he's not been accurate or honest about portraying his military service. Now, let's just say that it's tremendously honorable to serve in the National Guard. In fact, the National Guard often is deployed into combat situations. It's one of the backbones of our military.
But just to make clear to our audience, we respect anybody who's done military service, and many people who go into the military do not see combat, and that's fine and that's honorable. We're not blaming him that he didn't see combat. We're blaming him that he lied about it, and we want to make that very clear.
So these are two National Guard commanders, Commander Sergeant Majors. That's the rank that he said that he had. By the way, just to get that out of the way, on his website, he was saying that he was retired as a Commander Sergeant Major.
Which he had been, but apparently the rank gets dropped if you didn't complete a certain
course.
He had
2 years of coursework to complete. He did not complete it, so it was a contingent rank.
So he conveniently didn't mention that part.
He is not a retired Commander Sergeant Major. Right. He is a retired Master Sergeant.
He could say that he had held that rank, but he wasn't being honest about the fact that
he temporarily held it. It was a contingent rank.
It was contingent upon some study that he did not do.
He held it, but really it was with a contingent rank, so he didn't really hold, because in order to really have that rank, you had to complete the requirements.
Right, but what he did retire with was still honorable. Didn't have to go and lie about it.
Master sergeants are
that's
the backbone
very, that's very honorable.
Of our military.
Yeah.
Sergeants and master sergeants are the backbone of military, that was very honorable. I don't know why these people do it. Why do they have to exaggerate?
Maybe they know that with today's media, they can get away with it.
Maybe that's what they're thinking there. So anyway, he did not complete the requirements for it. And so after he retired, about 6 or 7 months later, by the way, he did go through the normal retirement process. He went sort of an irregular way. So basically, his retirement paper says no signature. It just sort of happened default. And so 6 or 7 months later, it catches up, and he's demoted back down to Master Sergeant because he didn't retire through the normal process. So in the late summer of 2003, he deployed to support Operation Enduring Freedom. He deployed to Italy. Now, he was supporting Operation Enduring Freedom, but that does not make you a veteran of Operation Enduring.
I heard him on TV
Enduring.
Saying that he actually saw combat, that
his gun
in war.
So then he does do a commercial. He actually does a protest for George W. Bush, where he's out in front and he's holding a sign saying Operation Enduring Freedom Veteran. That is not accurate. That was a lie. He supported. Now, let me just mention something about this. My dad served in the Air Force, and he served during the time of the Korean War. But he was not in the Korean War theater. He was actually serving in Alaska in the Air Force. Honorable service. But my dad never said he served in the Korean War. I can tell you that. In fact, I had to
He could have said he served at the time of the Korean War and was part of the effort for the Korean War.
Well, maybe even so. But he didn't even bring that up. I actually just figured out by the time he served, it was during the Korean War. He never even brought it up. So I'm just saying this. Yeah, that's fine. So him saying, here he is out there protesting George Bush with a sign saying he's an Enduring Freedom Veteran. That was a lie. That was misleading.
So it's like, I was a veteran in this war and I'm protesting Bush, but he wasn't even a veteran.
Then
in the war.
He did a commercial, an anti-gun commercial, anti-AR-15s. AR-15s are, by the way, military style, but people don't carry AR-15s in the military. They carry M4s or sometimes M16s. And he was doing an anti-AR-15, and he basically goes on, and I carried weapons of war in combat. In the commercial.
Yeah. He said in combat, not in basic training, in combat.
So he has now since then said, well, I misspoke. Well, that's the big misspeak. That
it
was
is,
meant to mislead.
And I just hope that every veteran in the country refuses to vote for him for that reason, because for other reasons, many other reasons, this guy would be a nightmare to have anywhere near Washington.
So I'm not going to go into his retirement right before deployment, but his co-commanders, people that were over him, believe that the timeline as such was that he knew well in advance. In fact, there was his senior commander said he had multiple discussions about planning for deployment, all that kind of stuff, well before he put in his deployment papers. So in other words, he's trying to create the impression, well, his deployment papers were already his
they
retirement.
Were trying to say he was planning to retire before he found out that these people were, but you're saying that they found out long before
he put his retirement papers
in. It wasn't immediate, but they knew it was around the horizon.
So I'm not sure how these things go, but the two people that wrote the letter said they considered it to be a betrayal. So I'm going to just leave it at that. I'll leave it up to their judgment how they felt. They felt that he was up there, that their senior non-com had abandoned the troops right before they deployed. and that there was no reason he had to do that. There was contingencies that he could still continue to run for Congress and things of that nature.
Well, his refusal to call in the National Guard while Minnesota was burning down speaks volumes about his military record anyway.
And another thing he lied about is that he said when he had re-upped to serve, he had re-upped for 4 years, which would have taken him through the end of, I think, 2005, which was still after the deployment. But he really had re-upped for 6 years. So he lied about that. So the guy is a liar. Okay, at the bare minimum, once again, I just ask myself, why, oh, why? Why do you have to do these kind of things? It's just, I guess it's just that he's a dishonest person.
What do you think was the upside of her picking him? They're trying to cast her as a moderate. He's more liberal than she is. Why do they suddenly want to put themselves in a position where they have to double down and cast two flaming liberals as moderates?
Well, I did see him speak.
He's a better speaker than she is, right. But that's not a high curve.
And he was personable, and I think he can come off down as folksy. He could actually...
So they thought he could portray himself as a moderate.
And then you get the media supporting him, and he goes up and they see this folksy guy who speaks down home. And by the way, he was a hunter. Bob, did you know that he was a hunter all his life?
Oh, I know, yeah.
Did you know that?
He loves hunting.
And I'm surprised that the guys before us didn't bring it up, but when he was in Congress, he had an excellent rating from the National Rifle Association. However... Something that's worth noting is that when he ran for that district, it was a relatively conservative district. So a Republican held it, and he beat the Republican.
Told them what they wanted to hear.
So he had to be pro-Second Amendment when he ran for the district. Then when he ran for governor, then that disappeared because he didn't have to be pro-Second Amendment to win statewide.
And how did he explain himself? He's evolved?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's evolved. So the stolen valor stuff is valid. He did lie. So let's just summarize here. Waltz lied about being an enduring freedom veteran. He lied about being a retired command sergeant major. He lied when he did a commercial urging the banning of military-style automatic rifles when he said, we can make sure that these weapons of wars that I carried in war is the only place where these weapons are kept at. He said that verbatim. He lied when he said he repped for a four-year term. He actually repped for a six-year term. The senior commander over him said that he knew well in advance that the unit was going to deploy well before he put in his retirement papers. So there is stolen valor aspects here. He didn't have to do it because his record was just fine without it.
It makes you wonder why people feel the need to lie and embellish their lives when they actually have a lot that they could feel good about already.
Yeah.
Can I just play devil's advocate here and say maybe they chose him because of his rural aspect? Remember,
he's Midwestern.
Midwestern, yeah. So he grew up in like small towns of Nebraska, like West Point and Valentine and Butte. I've never heard these cities before. So I think because they were like, man, we haven't had any rural success at all, and I don't think they're going to get any anytime soon, but maybe they're trying to get to the rural people. They're trying to connect with them with this guy, but I don't know.
Think you're right.
They're probably hoping that people think in those kinds of one-dimensional ways.
I mean, he is a lifelong hunter. He does have the folksy thing. He grew up in a small town, and he has some of that background. He didn't grow up poor like J.D. Vance did, but he did grow up in rural areas, non-urban.
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that under the governorship of this folksy guy, he passed into law unlimited abortion even to the day of birth and even after the baby was born due to a botched up abortion. There were two babies that were laid on the table in the hospital, and they were not allowed care, and they just suffocated. That's not even abortion. That's infanticide, and that took place under this folksy, middle-of-the-road Midwestern governor.
Yeah, no, he's very, very left on his fiscal policy and his social policy. And when we get back here, there's a lot of very interesting things about him, including the fact that he and his wife purposely got married on the fifth anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre.
I heard that. Well, folks, if you take the word folksy and tweak it just a little bit, it sounds kind of like sleazy. We'll be right back.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. WNS specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, before we left, we were talking about Governor Tim Walz's connections with China. But before we go back, we were also talking about abortion. And I do want to finish that up. Life News, which is an excellent site. They do good news. They're legitimate. They're respectable. They did do a very thorough analysis of him. And there was at least five babies that were born alive. None of the ones reported. By the way, at the time when they were born, there was a state law that required that you report on the statistics. And a couple received cares, a couple did not receive care. They are none of them that are all pre-viable. In other words, they were too young to really have survived. Nonetheless, ones that were pre-viability that did not receive care. And I believe that when you have a law that allows abortion through 9 months, that you're going to have people not reporting when a viable baby is born.
This happens often. A botched up abortion, the child is delivered.
And a viable baby. So I also think it's very possible that along with the non-viable babies that were born and did not receive care, there was viable babies. We don't know that.
Well,
but
whether they call it viable or not, to just sit a kid down and let him suffocate,
no, it's brutal. And by the way, there was reporting requirements that you had to report on that. Well, he basically eliminated those requirements, so they no longer have to report on that. He did that, so he didn't even want to have those kind of incidents brought up. He also changed the legislation that they would take measures to preserve the baby's life and health and replace it with the nebulous requirement that the baby would receive care. That's a big difference.
That could mean anything. And just to say, one thing the left always tosses around toward the right is the term Nazi. Trump is like Hitler. People that follow Trump are Nazis. People forget, this was the first thing the Nazis did when they came into power was euthanasia. Long before they exterminated the Jews, they were exterminating babies. They were exterminating mentally handicapped people. This kind of euthanasia takes us down a road of the real, honest to goodness Nazis. Read your history books.
Yep, and he really does, in terms of his radical pro-abortion philosophy. By the way, Minnesota is only one of seven states that does abortion on demand all through 9 months. One of seven states. Kamala Harris, by the way, don't forget that she's the one who tried to censor the video exposing Planned Parenthood's selling of aborted baby parts, too.
Well, I believe she prosecuted some of the people that went after Planned Parenthood in her litany of brags about being a prosecutor.
These people are not in any way, shape, moderate. Now, let's talk about his...
But isn't it interesting how they always want to portray themselves as moderate to get elected?
Let's talk about his ties to China. So, he wanted to get married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square to make his anniversary special. He and his wife then honeymooned there on their marriage on June 4th, 1994, the fifth anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. And, quote, wanted to have a wedding date we'll always remember, according to his wife.
What a fun massacre day that was.
I just don't understand it. Talk about bizarre and weird. Okay, well, then he and his wife created a travel agency. By the way, he talked about never being treated better in his life and having a better time than when he visited China. He said they rolled out the red carpet for him. I mean, that's his quoting from him. Then he and his wife...
of course they did. He's a useful idiot that was going to go back to the United States defending their policies. Of course they rolled out the red carpet.
Well, then he and his wife...
It was probably very red. In
they
that state.
Created a travel agency where they took students to China.
Yes.
30 trips.
On government subsidies.
Well, government subsidies, and we're not sure with the later trips how much they were subsidized by the CCP. So when they went to China, were the students educated on the human rights abuse or selling of body parts by China? No. What were the students treated to? I think it was indoctrination or propaganda. But regardless, 30 visits.
I can just hear them right now in the mainstream media. So he likes Chinese food. Who doesn't like sweet and sour shrimp?
This just goes beyond liking Chinese food. I like Chinese food.
Yes, but that's... That's how they're going to spin this.
The one thing about and notice about Chinese food is I eat a lot of it. It doesn't ever seem to fill me up. I don't know.
That's how you find a fortune cookie that's accurate. It says you will be hungry 1 hour from now.
Yes. So then when he's elected governor of Minnesota, a CP Communist Party diplomat and another Communist Party official showed up and attended his inauguration. That doesn't happen for people that are criticizing China for human rights abuses. Okay.
Well, Mike, maybe he just wanted America to have a folksier relationship with China.
And then in Minnesota, one of seven places, they had those illegal Chinese communist police stations operating there. And it operated there, and he never did anything to shut it down. So this guy, and he's also spoken out, trying to minimize, like when people talk about Tiananmen Square, he says, oh, but remember, United States this. Oh, but remember. So he's been very much a shill.
January 6th.
But probably, he probably says that, yeah. So he downplays the communist China atrocities. He's against the tariffs that Trump put in place. So... he seems to be very friendly to China, who is our number one geopolitical opponent on the stage. And if possible, if it's even possible, with him and Kamala Harris, we'd have even weaker policies on China than Biden and Harris have.
Which is hard to imagine.
Right. Okay. So that's him. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about J.D. Vance. You know, I do have to admit one thing. You know, one of the definitions for weird is not being normal. That's one of the definitions of it. And J.D. Vance is not normal, Bob. He really is not. I mean, listen, okay, you know, he didn't enlist in the Marine Corps after high school, and then he got the position of being the correspondent right out of high school. That's not usual, Bob. That's kind of weird. And apparently, I'm going to guess this. Now, this is not reported, but I'm going to promise you that I'm right about this. When you enter the military, you take something called the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. And I'm going to say that he blew that out of the water in verbal and writing skills. And when they saw someone like they said, hey, here's a guy that can write, and he's going to be our correspondent. So for 4 years, he was writing pieces, military pieces, learning how to write and do his skills. So when he got out of the Marine Corps and he applied to go to Ohio State, I'm sure his SATs and everything are off the charts on the verbal and the things like that. Well, he was able to get 2 degrees, philosophy and political science, in 2 years. 2 years. Now, it was not two separate degrees. It was a double major, not a minor in a major, a double major, poli-sci and philosophy.
And he had a very troubled childhood and upbringing.
Right.
He rose against a backdrop of a lot of stuff.
So both of those majors require a lot of writing, tons and tons of writing. So there's a lot of work there. So he definitely worked his butt off there. And whereas 1 degree takes 120 units, you can get a double major at Ohio State. I researched that's for a minimum of 151 units. So he pulled off over 151 units or more in 2 years and graduated summa cum laude.
And yet look how the media is portraying him. Did you hear how they're calling him a stalker because he walked over to the tarmac where Kamala Harris was and asked the reporters why they aren't asking her tough questions? And how dare he do that to a woman candidate? This is the woman that's going to break the ceiling for women, but you walk up and challenge her.
Yeah, she's been hiding from the media because she cannot speak. Yeah,
you're a stalker for challenging.
Speak her off the cuff. I mean, Donald Trump does press conferences everywhere, and sometimes he says things that you kind of go, well, maybe I wish I hadn't said that. But you know what, Bob? The reason there's 10 to 12 million people in this country that will only vote for Donald Trump is because he does say things that aren't polished. He says things that he just thinks at the time.
Usually handlers are saying, don't say this or you'll offend that group. Don't say that
right,
or you'll offend this group. And with Trump, at least warts and all, what you see is what you get. He is what he is.
So in the sense, getting a degree, a double major in 2 years is not normal, Bob. That's not normal.
It's above normal, I guess, is the point you're making.
I guess so, yes. But so then he went on to get into Yale Law School. So he's a white guy getting into Yale Law School. That's pretty hard to do because they do have a lot of affirmative action there. So he got into Yale Law School, and then he was an editor for the Yale Law Review. That's pretty pretty amazing resume.
Yeah, and then when he challenged the fact that a lot of women today don't want to become mothers, we have somebody that comes on and says, well, the kinds of babies he wants them to have are white. Do they understand that he's married to an Indian woman and they have Bairishka? Don't they even look these guys up before they just spoof stuff out of their mouth?
They're too lazy. So, yes. And then he met his wife at Yale. She's also quite brilliant.
She's pretty bright.
Yeah. More so. And they now have three beautiful children. And by the way, yes, she happens to be a beautiful Indian woman. Doing pretty good there. So there we go. Yale Law School, summa cum laude in 2 years. That's not normal. The average person does not graduate from Yale Law School.
Yeah, but Mike, you're leaving out an important part. He's not folksy.
Well, of course he did in 2016 write Hillbilly Elegy, which is about as folksy as that.
Yeah.
And it was a bestseller, and I looked it up.
I have seen the movie. It's not a fun movie to watch, but it's a movie everybody should see because it does give you a lot about his background.
So now the book has sold over 1.6 million copies. 1.6 million. That's pretty impressive. And on Netflix, it's one of the top streaming things, 19.2 million minutes of viewing in a single day back in July. That's actually very significant. So then he graduates, goes on and beats Peter Thiel, and he gets set up in venture capitalism. And in a matter of less than 10 years, he's worth 10 million. That is not normal, Bob. I'm going to tell you that is not normal. So if that's your definition of weird, being not normal, I guess maybe is, but I would call that.
Okay, more definitions of normal when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to our program. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, we've got just a few minutes left here so we could talk about the new guns for the M1 Abrams, or we could talk about response bias and non-bias response bias in the polling right now about the polls. Right.
Yes, give us, please, some better news about the polls.
Okay, we'll do that.
You're pretty good at this, and I'm dying to hear it.
Okay, well, the first thing here, there's several factors in play here. One of the factors is something that I learned by watching a show I do watch with Richard Barris and Robert Barnes. What are the odds? Both of them, especially Robert Barnes and also Richard Barris, are long time. They very much understand the history of elections. Anyway, bottom line is that over a lot of election cycles, you normally do see the Democrats get a bit boost in August. That's a normal pattern. For whatever reason, maybe the Republicans aren't paying as much attention. They're less likely to respond. So that is normal. So right now you have that going. So you're going to see a bit of an uptick normally in August for the Democrats, regardless of what's going on. So put that there as factor number one. Factor number two, and this is what I call non-response bias. What we have right now going on is something pollsters call non-response bias. For years and decades, they used to believe that conventions, political conventions, the Republican convention, the Democratic convention, would boost the candidate, and they would get a boost from after the convention. But what they found was it was not really so much it changed the actual, but the final voting tally would be, it was it changed who would respond to the polls after the conventions. It's called non-response bias. And what they found is that the people that respond after big events, positive or negative, is not representative of who's actually going to be voting. So think about what we had happen. We had the Trump assassination attempt. That depressed Democrats and beefed up psyched up Republicans and conservatives.
Because it turned Trump into a hero.
Right. Then you had the debate, the awful performance by Biden in the debate. That depressed Democrats and boosted up Republicans, and people are going to vote for Trump. So you have these, and then you got the Republican convention. So all these things here were events that were exciting Republicans and depressing Democrats. So Republicans that might not have answered the poll were more likely to answer. So for a period of time, you had what I would say is probably an unrealistically large number for Trump over Biden because of this, because Republicans were more likely to respond to polls meeting a certain demographic. And then you had Biden. You know, Biden's there. Then along comes Kamala Harris. I know that people think she's bad, but listen, she can read a teleprompter without saying pause.
Yes.
She can read a teleprompter without saying wait for applause or
well, and
laugh.
Let's admit it, they could have put in Bart Simpson at this point, and just because he wasn't Biden, those polls would have gone up.
Okay, so that was exciting. And the thing is, no matter what, we can look back and say that she had some of the lowest polling numbers of any vice presidential candidate. We can look back and say, hey, she did poorly in the Democrat primaries. But the fact is, there are going to be some people going to go, wow, she's a woman of color, and I've always wanted to vote for a woman of color. And that's going to be exciting. So I do think that in especially blue states, she's going to do better than Biden would have done just because she can actually talk and actually do a teleprompter.
But
and
these battleground blue states are the problems.
Well, they're not blue states, though. Remember, they're battleground states. And they are at best purple, and some of them are red, like Ohio. That used to be a battleground state, but that's red. Florida used to be a battleground state. That's red now under Trump.
So
and they're still red.
Battleground, Pennsylvania,
Michigan,
Wisconsin,
maybe Arizona. Now, the Siena poll that came out that showed Trump losing those states now, the New York Times sitting on poll, the big one you're talking about when we walked in. That's the poll, the final poll right before the election in Wisconsin in 2020, said Biden was going to win that state by 11 points. 11 points. He won by 0.6 points, if he won at all.
Which
so
I don't believe.
So don't. First of all, the polls that are quoting are not very good polls. They naturally underestimate.
What's Rasmussen saying about it?
Rasmussen nationwide came out with Trump plus 5. And by the way, let's just keep this in mind. Rasmussen, when you rate it, it's a 65%.
It's been one of the more accurate polls.
Well, it's not only more accurate, but it has a tendency to overestimate Democrat results by 65% and Republican results by 35%. In other words, it's a poll that has historically been biased to Democrats by 65% to 35%. And they show Trump up by 5. So there's the response bias, which will naturally fade away as all the excitement and people come back down to earth. Then there's the fact that the polls you're looking at are bad polls. And then you have the August bump, which traditionally happens for Democrats. So I will say is just relax. Let things keep going the way they are. I mean, you know they're going to be gaslighting. You know they're going to be...
But they're going to try to keep her from doing a single interview. And if they could coast all the way to November with that, they'll do it.
They will. And they're going to do what they can do.
I do think Trump's doing a good job of smoking them out, though, because I am hearing some Democratic pundits argue amongst themselves on TV about how come they're not talking to Kamala Harris. So Trump's doing a pretty good job of getting under
and
their skin.
And J.D. Vance is fantastic in an interview. He is tough.
Oh, I can't wait to see him in a debate against this Minnesota governor.
He is
Waltz.
Tough. He was on with Face the Nation with, I forget the name of the lady he was interviewing. For 7 minutes, she pounded him on the abortion issue. And he stayed on message. He did not let her corner him. And she got frustrated, so frustrated that after that part of the interview was done, they came on with a little thing to clarify what was really happening in the interview. They had to come in without him on screen to say, no, here's what he really said. Here's what he really meant.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh used to call that deface the nation.
Yes.
You're talking about Margaret Bennett, I think is her name.
Okay, I don't remember her name, but he did extremely well. He has a command of the facts right at his fingertips. He stays on target, and he's always coming back to the fact that we're voting for the president, not for me. But with that said, let's get back to the issues. And he always goes back to the issues. He is really, really sharp.
And she had to shamelessly go to a commercial break and then come back and explain to her pea brain audience what he really meant to say.
Yeah.
Wow. So that is just despicable.
He's a really good partner for Donald Trump because Donald Trump will get on and give the big, broad statement. He's going to do this. And then J.D. Vance will come on after him and acknowledge the big, broad statement.
He's
and
good
then,
at connecting the dots
then
and
he'll
giving
fill
the
in
more
the details.
Linear
he'll
argument.
Fill in the details as to why Trump is saying.
Trump will just talk all over the map and he'll be more linear.
And then he brings in the details. So I think it's a really good combination. And what I predict now is when Trump and Vance win, you're going to see the most savage, vicious attack against Vance for the next 4 years after that because they do not want him in 2028.
Also, for all of their talk about calling Republicans election deniers after 2020, I do not believe that they are going to accept a Trump win, Mike. I don't believe that. They're already talking about not certifying it in January. They're pulling all kinds of stuff
off the table. We shall see.
I do not believe they are going to accept that. They do not plan to hand over the presidency to him.
Well, it's not a crazy thought, Bob. I will say that at the bare minimum. It's not a crazy thought, and you could easily think of the argument.
And I believe they're already preparing for that possibility.
How can we seat a multiple elected felon?
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. I mean, they'll do that. He's a convicted felon. We can't seat him. Yeah,
I do think that the Supreme Court
will... He's an insurrectionist.
...will jump in there.
And hopefully. They're kind of...
And as bad as our military is, I don't think that they're so far gone that they would support a full-on coup.
The average guy in the military, no, but some of those top brass around Washington, I don't trust them any farther than I can throw.
I mean, even the top brass, if we have a significant win by Trump and Vance, I think they will go a bit with the flow. The people like Milley and people like that, they're not strong backbone people.
One thing we agree on, if he wins by a landslide, it makes it more difficult for them to cheat, and it makes it more difficult for them to claim that he cheated.
And they are doing everything they can. I think that the campaign's generally well run. The RNC is working to stop.
There are several states that have cleaned up their voting rolls, but not all of them, unfortunately. Not all,
and they're going to have to be on top of things.
What about the battleground states? Is there election reform going on in the battleground states? That's probably the most important question.
Well, there was definitely some election reform in
Pennsylvania.
Georgia.
Yes.
And Pennsylvania is not so hot there.
Yeah, and that's the one everybody says you can't win without winning Pennsylvania.
But there is going to be a higher level of scrutiny. And I believe that this time around, that people that are poll watchers, things like that, I will just say this. I think what should have happened last time is when they locked the poll watchers out and they shut up the windows and stopped them from seeing what was happening in the poll counting. I think they should have done civil disobedience and stopped the voting process from happening when they did that. And that's what needs to happen. If that goes, it cannot happen like happened last time, where they just violated election. And by the way, there's been a number of lawsuits where they have shown up that election law was violated. And some of this has happened in these states because the secretaries of states violated election law and there have been court decisions that said they did and they cannot do it again. So that has happened.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, that's something that was absolutely proven is the election laws that were changed before the election. Well, we're down to the wire, Mike. One quick final thought.
Well, I will just say this. In the Olympics, the United States has been dominating on the medals. We're tied in gold medals. But what's even more important, we've got the real gold medals, track and field and swimming, where China has things like aquatic figure dance. I'm sorry, but really... And we did not win on the breakdancing, Bob. We did not win the breakdancing medal. There literally was a breakdancing medal in this Olympics. Then there was the dinghy medals, Bob, where people got a little 10-foot boat and maneuver around, and Australia won that one. We didn't win that one.
And then there were the medals that women didn't get because they were clobbered by men impersonating women. That's a wonderful one.
That's another topic for another time. But
okay.
Yes.
Mike, it's always great having you on. We'll see you next month.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.